Alright, time for another DoNotGuide.com video presentation. So, continuing sort of with brain crap. Yeah, sort of important, but don't lose the big picture. Okay, so let's just do the little tiny bit of the big picture part. The big picture is that there's only one thing in the universe that has any value or meaning, and that is the sensations that conscious organisms can feel. Everything else that happens, all the other tree falling in the forest crap, doesn't mean anything, doesn't have any significance, isn't intrinsically something to worry about, something to pay attention to. It's all just fodder for the real show. It's all just the background for the little rabbit in the forest. The little rabbit's the only thing that matters. The little thing that can feel. So all we're doing here is negotiating over a rational perspective on feeling things. And should they exist? Do they do anything useful besides steal each other's comfort? Blah, blah, blah. And I would say the answer to the question is, yeah, no, it's all a bad idea. It's just opening your door to a bunch of torture, and the torture really can't just be justified. So I could just take the one case of one little kid dying of cancer, and I could just say, is that a story worth writing? I mean, is there something else happening that's justifying that torture? And the simple answer is no, not even close. Nothing. Nobody's doing anything magnificent enough. There's not a magnificent enough feeling, not a magnificent enough sensation, not a drive, not an ambition, not a desire that in any way justifies torture. It just can't be defended. It's too big a loss. It's too big a bad. Okay, to defend as somehow acceptable that this voyage, okay, on the Titanic, where we happen to have a guaranteed life preserver, and we're going to da-da-da-da, and we'll accept the losses, we'll accept the torture that will have to be experienced by the losers, so to speak, the ones who didn't have the better seat in the better lifeboat kind of thing. No way. Nothing those people are going to do is going to be worth it. The only thing we can do here is really just clean up the mess that consciousness makes. So to have a good life, you basically have to live your life devoted to the purpose of fixing all the poor little broken suffering creatures. You know, bandage their little paws and pull out the thorns and pet them and comfort them and in some way fix all of the misery that exists because we don't have lifeboats and we don't have any infrastructure. And it's a really badly designed boat. Cruise ship. Yeah, it doesn't have great features. All right. So, I mean, I could do another analogy for that. I suppose I should. Gambling. Okay, so that's sort of advertised as some sort of good thing, and the only objection seems to always come from some Muslim or some moral edict or some bullshit, value definition that has a core in some religious crap. When you can understand the ethical ugliness without any of that stuff, by just understanding that what are you really doing? I mean, you're really just saying, I plan on being a winner. So I plan on going there and basically picking the pocket of the losers. Plus, okay, I'm going to spend a ton of the money. You know, I'm going to pick their pocket in a very inefficient way, is that I'm going to take a dollar and 50 cents of the dollar is going to go to a bunch of capitalists and other people who are just trying to seduce other people to come to the gambling house, and lose their money so you can get your 50 cents on the dollar. And so all of that's quite ugly. All the lights and the free drinks and all the hospitality created for the mere purpose of getting more people to fall for it and lose their money, get robbed. And that's all it's really for, is a place to go to get robbed. And, you know, and so participating in that is kind of, just on its face, pretty ugly. You mean, okay, I go winning, I'm the winner, and there is, in fact, losers, and big losers, and life's ruins, and, you know, alcoholism, and all kinds of crap, and wife getting punched, and all kinds of shit happens because you had to go pick somebody's pocket, you know, because you didn't want to have to earn it some regular way. You wanted to go earn it some shitty way, and it's really shitty. It's a shitty way of earning your keep, so to speak, making a living. So, I mean, on its face, it's just stupid. I mean, it's not very logical. If you really do value the welfare of human beings or other sentient creatures, it's a pretty stupid thing to get involve yourself in, ruining other people. So you can have a fancy shirt, you know, or some kind of bullshit. It's just quite ugly. So I'm just saying, it's that simple. All right. So that might be enough for you to have some kind of idea that we're all in this together, in the sense that you really can't say that what happens to your brain is so much more important than what happens to all the other brains that are feeling things. That's not very logical. So you really do have to live your life very aware of your blood footprint, so to speak. I mean, that would be another concept, I suppose, a little idea that you should have bouncing around in your head, is this blood footprint. Ooh, yeah, that sounds like something I should avoid. You know, I don't want to be like some swamp thing, you know, some monster that just is dripping in the blood of the grief and horror I have imposed on the poor other critters of the, planet. No. Yeah, that shouldn't be your ambition anyway. I mean, there's no point in me logically having a conversation with you if that's already your ambition, that you really want to be a nightmare, that you want to be a mess maker. Your ambition is to be as destructive and unproductive as possible. Well, then, yeah, I guess I'm wasting my time on you. But let's just assume that you have some notion that that's not the rational thing to be doing here on Earth. Then, yeah, there might be some hope that you just get the simple idea that this is a horrible dilemma. I mean, you know, living your life and trying not to make a mess and trying not to hurt anything and trying to help everything and trying to do it in a long-term sense. I mean, all these complicated decisions to make, and they are difficult. You know, I mean, I've brought up these kind of things. I mean, if it was your choice, if it was you're going to make the decision, and so we're going to fight malaria, you know, and we have a pile of money, $2 billion or something, and you're going to fight malaria with it. You know, you have tough choices to make, right? Because I tend to logically say, oh, well, let's go for broke and spend it on the cure. You know, let's try to find some medication, some something that just completely disables the little microbe. And so it's completely meaningless, you know, because malaria is malaria, okay? We are now immune, like polio or something. We just, you know, make it not effective anymore as a little monster. Or do you spend the money on all the people right now suffering? I mean, do you try to prevent victims right now? Do you buy a bunch of nets and mosquito repellents and all kinds of other kinds of mechanisms? I mean, it's a tough choice to make. It's a tough decision. You know, investing in the long term or the short term, and how do you really solve a problem? Or do you make it worse? I mean, could it be possible that you could make it worse? You know, that in trying to find your cure, you make some sort of COVID or something. So none of this is, this is a stupid and idiotic position to be put in. So just recognize that you're put in an impossible circumstance where you're supposed to live this good life in this terribly sloppy world where you really just can't know what's right at any particular time in any kind of, with any kind of, you know, security. And then you have to fight for things. You know, when you do know something, I'm pretty sure it's a good idea not to have babies if you're an idiot. You know, if you could barely get through your own life and you were suicidal for 5 years and all of this other crap, yeah, you're probably not a great candidate for parenthood. Okay, don't bother with that. Find something else to do with your life. You know, that kind of bullshit. I mean, that's a real certainty, but how do you can't even argue with people about this kind of crap, like, oh yeah, we should have a law against, you know, morons breeding. Yeah, we probably should. You know, we should have a law against a lot of morons. You know, but we let them plea bargain. You know, we just let them plead to a lesser crime. You know, the morons are all out there. Just this tiny percentage of the human race that's insanely dysfunctional. You know, the ones who are really just outrageously unaware. You know, the ones with the 4,000 watt speakers in their car. You know, that drive down the street at 70 miles an hour. I mean, they're so clueless, and you're just, you know, but a tiny percentage. But, yeah, we keep letting them plea bargain, you know, we just keep letting them commit these crimes against decency and reason. and just pretty stupid, frankly. But you can't say something like, well, we should just throw out broken toasters. You know, you don't bother wasting $1 billion to fix the broken toaster. Not too stupid. And look, you know, when you think of all the money wasted on the drug addicts and the this and the that, I mean, just insane amounts of money. And then we have, like, you know, we have orphanages that are shacks in the middle of Iowa or something. You know, we invest no money at all, you know, in the thing that could be the savior, you know, the inventor of the next penicillin or something, and we spend nothing on that investment, and we spend a fortune, you know, tinkering with broken toasters. So priorities are all wrong and blah 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 blah. So anyway, context. Probably more context than I intended, but it doesn't really matter. It matters, but I can't know. You know, even making a video, you can't, I should have said this sentence and then everything else I said would have been so much more meaningful. I mean, this is all just part of how irritating it is to be alive and attempting communication and, it's just so unpleasant. So anyway, this is some dopey guy, actualize.org, you know. I mean, even if you accomplish this task of actually being somebody who could think, wow, I'm really aware and I've paid attention and I've spent some time trying to be a good person and think about how to be a good person and I've spent all this time to be actualized, doesn't do you any good. It's not like it's a good thing in a lot of ways, because it just makes you aware of how much and how broken it is and how difficult the task is and all of that. Being half actualized might be better than being fully actualized, because the more actualized you are, probably the more fucking futile it all seems. But you always have to endeavor to persevere. I mean, you have to try to turn every bit of oxygen you absorb into some kind of productive action. There's no real choice. There's just productive or unproductive. So, yeah, you know, you have to keep investing in the productive thing. But you will watch other people just break it. It's like you're making all these little glass vases and you're sitting in a world where people are just sitting there with their hammers just pow, pow. You know, it's just like, oh, God, this is so irritating. Every piece of good work done on this planet is smashed and crushed by some fucking moron. Ugh, it's horrible. Anyway, so I watched 8 minutes and 28 seconds. He hadn't said a damn thing yet, so he spent 8 minutes and 20, you know, it's a long video too, so we're just taking hunks of it. I guess that's all we can do. But it is amazing that people will be talking about something semi-important and they just never get to it. So in some way, he's supposed to be saying that perception doesn't exist. Well, that's stupid. We know it exists. I mean, the point is how lost is it in the bullshit of our gooey brains? So I suppose I should bring that up. I mean, somebody always makes some kind of raggy comments on videos, you know, and it's probably the Farley. But anyway, I'm saying that somehow I'm not dealing with the hard problem. So there's this idea of a hard problem in whatever you want to call it, the philosophy of mind. And just has to do with, why did nature make us conscious? Well, because nature's an idiot. That's why. So come on, why does nature make any of the you know, crocoducks, the monsters nature makes? So yeah, consciousness is just a byproduct of nature not being a perfect designer, frankly. In the sense that we could perform our robotic functions of making sentences and hand gestures, you know, stealing each other's money, whatever. We could do all of that without having to be conscious. And it's probably true that you could program us directly to be just robots, you know, without the awareness thing, if you want to call it that. But it's tricky to define what conscious is, right? So my argument would be is that consciousness is just a byproduct of the feeling thing. That's the thing that it's pretty hard to make something feel without making them feel. I mean, how do you synthesize feeling? You know, you can't just say the word pain, right? I mean, the brain can't just say, you're feeling pain now. Oh, I am? So, what does that mean? I mean, how would pain, the concept of a pain, be any different than, say, the concept of a building or a tree or cloud or some other concept in your head? It wouldn't have any meaning. So, obviously, that's the tricky part. And that's the part where our senses are combined, you know, sight and hearing and all this stuff. And then that tricky one is pushed in, the ouch, the ooh, you know, the ah, the feeling part. And that's why we're conscious, is because you really can't create this reward and punishment mechanism any other way. You have to make something, you have to give something a personal interest by making it happen as if it's really, really important. And this is what really important, okay, feels like, when a computer is forced to have something really, really important happen, you know, that it has to pay attention to, that it can't just, like all the other programs, just say, that's just a program and I'll just turn the knob off. I don't want to hear that, so I'll just turn the knob off. Something like that. But of course I have dealt with a hard problem. There's no hard problem. We're conscious because, you know, evolution isn't brilliant, okay? It's really not really, really, really smart, okay? It's really, really, really dumb, and it's doing something really, really simple. It's just forcing little robots to beat the shit out of each other, and it's rewarding the winner, okay, with, you know, Xeroxing. And there's not much else it's doing. And that process isn't necessarily going to get you the most efficient computational device. All right, so anyway. So hard problem, smart problem. Doesn't really exist. And it's just for religious purposes. It's just an issue that people bring up who wish to imply there has to be a God or a creator or some other bullshit, because we wouldn't be conscious if it wasn't God's fault. A God's fault. But anyway. So, leave us jump into the bullshit. Turn this down a little. Make sure this volume's correct. Blah, 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 blah. All right.
Thinking about perceptions and experiences. So, now I want you to kind of open up your mind a little bit more and think about what does an experience or perception look like when we remove the subject or the owner of...
Yeah, it doesn't look like anything, obviously. Obviously, you kind of have to do perception. The word itself, the whole idea, the whole concept is something that has to happen in some kind of vessel. It can't happen all over the place. So it's just kind of stupid. It's not the kind of thing you can spread anywhere and make any sense of it. It's a sandwich. You know, you can't have a universal sandwich, something like that.
The perception or the experience. So try to imagine like the color red literally just kind of floating out in the vacuum of empty space.
Okay, there's no point in this, right? There's just absolutely no point. Because as soon as you say the color red, then I think of a photon, and I think a beam, and then I think of all the things that photons are made out of, and what it's really doing. It's little bits of energy vibrating at a certain frequency, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's not really vibrating. It's just landing at a frequency. So again, spread out. Oh, so I just say there's an infinite amount of red light in the universe? Coming from no source, it just happens to be in the universe? I mean, what's the point of this?
Not something that's happening to you. You're not seeing it. You're not experiencing it, but it's there.
So again, it's I can't even see it unless it is deflected into my eye. So again, you could put a bunch of red stuff going this way in the universe. I can't see that red stuff. It's not red. It's not anything. It's invisible. It has to actually hit something and then bounce into my eye. So again, you're just not playing by the physics rules here.
So what would that be? Really, what we're doing is we're stripping the object of the subject. We're taking away the subject. Or another way you can think of it is that
It's just too stupid, right? I mean, I'm obviously sitting here. I'm obviously seeing this piece, this little piece of the universe, okay? My little crappy environment. All right, and somebody watching this video is just seeing a little, I'm doing a little fake background, my little fake shirt, the little fake thing. This is what they see. Okay, so yeah, we're seeing some little piece of the universe. This one brain is interacting with one little piece of the universe. Now, the interesting thing we can do is that, you know, in our brain, we can have a much bigger world, and we can know that Las Vegas exists, and the Olympics exist, and all these loser games, right? The games that create so many more losers than winners. You know, all of the contests, all of the Oscars, all of the crap we have created as a world. I can understand all that stuff happens. I can know it. I can understand its geography. I can do all of that crap, but it's still, again, an isolation of me as a human being born in a certain generation, at a certain time, a certain place. With certain memes and ideas that I've been injected with, blah, 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 Woodstock, blah, 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 different things. It's still limited. So what use is this conversation? What does this have to do with these robots optimizing their performance? That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be talking to the other robots and explaining to them how they're supposed to optimize performance. And I frankly don't think it's going to be possible for them to optimize their performance if they're sitting there pretending they live in some other universe than this one.
Collapsing the subject and object together, such that that thing is just being out there without a creature or an entity or a sentient being looking at it and experiencing it. Would you still call that thing an experience?
No, I wouldn't bother. I'm just wasting my time worrying about the experience unless I was worrying about the experience of the experiencer. So if I'm sitting here looking at a rabbit, then I have something to worry about. If I'm looking at a candle burning, I don't have anything to worry about. I can just move along.
Or a perception, if that was even possible. Well, on the one hand, you might be tempted to say that, yes, it's still a perception. It's still basically an experience, Leo. It's just that it's not occurring to anybody. But then again,
okay, so what sense was it? Does this make any sense to somebody? So there's a rabbit in the universe, and I'm supposed to worry about where the camera is that's taking a picture of the rabbit? No, that's not what I'm, no. Can't mean anything. But the fact is, for us to do anything, we are cameras. We have to acknowledge the existence of the rabbit. So if the rabbit's behind Saturn, and I can't see the rabbit, well, then I can't do anything for the rabbit. I can't know it. I can't, you know, I missed that rabbit. I didn't pet him. I didn't give him a carrot. You know, blah, 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 all these things that didn't happen because I didn't know the rabbit existed. So again, we are stuck with this is the model. Okay, you don't like it. I'm sorry you don't like it. But guess what? This is the way the world actually works, is we're a bunch of individual brains and we all can't see the other side of Saturn. Some of us are sitting in seats, you know, looking this way, and some are sitting in the other seats looking the other way. We all see different shit. And that's just a fact. And we all can't see what each other is seeing. So the only thing we can do is communicate it to each other and say, I see a rabbit, you know, and let the other side know there's a rabbit there. So we can instruct each other on the elements that exist in our world. And here you are getting people to think that way when they need to think this way. They need to see that they have to do this understanding thing through each other. They can't do it by pretending we all don't exist. That won't help. You know, we need to use our individual perspectives as a way of triangulating, okay, of getting different information from different sources so we can actually use that radar to draw the map of the reality. It's not a bad metaphor. Don't know if it's completely applicable, but it wasn't a bad one.
And that really changes what you think an experience or a perception really is.
Oh, whatever. I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. So I imagine I don't have an individual brain, that somehow perception is happening by nothing, and somehow the nothing perception thingy understands the rabbit needs a carrot. I'm just saying I can know that. I can know the rabbit needs a carrot. I don't need the universe to tell me.
If it can be experienced or perceived without an experiencer or a perceiver, that sort of radically redefines what those terms mean. And not just in sort of a word gamey kind of way. Something.
Oh, no, this is a word game. I'm sorry. This is so word game. This is exactly, if you bought the original word game, this is exactly what it looks like. This looks exactly like the word game.
Very significantly different is happening now. So here's what I want you to consider, is that if this could happen, the raw data, let's say, of this experience or perception would still stay exactly the same. So colors would still stay the same, shapes, they wouldn't change. The color red would still be the color red. But what would happen is a radical recontextualization such that this raw data of red or whatever it is no longer yours and is only...
Right. So what does this really mean, right? So I'm just saying, what is he really talking about? So there's a rabbit in the universe, and the rest of the universe is just planets and bullshit. And the only thing that's important is a rabbit. Okay, you don't have your own brain anymore to perceive the rabbit, and you're pretending the universe is just looking at the rabbit. Well, how is the universe going to know anything about the rabbit? I mean, does the universe have a brain? How is the universe perceiving the rabbit? So there's just photons coming off, bouncing on the rabbit and reflecting back to the, the perceptors, the sense machines, the sense universe. I mean, how is the photons bouncing off the rabbit saying anything or doing anything? That's just one source of information anyway, right? I mean, it doesn't, those little photons bouncing off the outside of the rabbit don't say anything about, well, it has internal organs and it has a brain and a brain is having sensations, and we don't get any of that information. So, what do you talk of perception? it's diagramming. It's understanding. The whole point is to understand. So the perceiver has to have knowledge of what means something, what is something, has to know the difference between an ear and an eye, has to know an awful lot of stuff for the idea of what it's perceiving to have any meaning. The raw photons just can't mean anything.
No longer a thing that is happening to you. And that's very, very significant.
All right, so now he's probably saying something different. I mean, he's just playing a game like something happening to you. I mean, it just sounds like, what, you have a headache? so imagine the universe has the headache instead of you. Why would I do that? That's really stupid. All right, never mind.
It's been depersonalized, you might say. And along with that, it's also no longer biological. It's no longer something that is related to your brain or to your mind, and it's no longer even a part of your life. Because all of that assumes a you or a subject that is part of this relationship with the object. It's just a pure object, we might say. Or another way to say, it is that we removed all the personal.
So what popped into my head was like the pyramids, for whatever dumb reason, right? And just the idea that there's this whole life, huge numbers of human existences built into this, hundreds of years to build them, all of this crap, all of this. And what's left? Dirty, dusty, sloppy looking triangles in the middle of a crappy, shitty desert. With probably McDonald's litter all around the base or something. I mean, it's just, it's just residue.
Selfhood out of this thing, and we've just turned it into a universal experience. So you might think of it as the universe. Who is experiencing this color red out in a vacuum? The universe. Not you, not some other creature, not some other person, but the universe.
So again, what is this doesn't mean anything. So you're just going to turn everything happening to an individual into something that's happening to everything everywhere or something. I don't know. What is it? I'm just looking at the desk clutter and I'm saying, well, why would I want to spread that all over the universe? I don't even want to look at it. Why would anybody else want to look at it? Why or anything else or the universe or the planets or whatever? Blah, 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 blah. What? What are you talking about? I'm totally lost now.
But the trick here is that you don't want to think of the universe as a human or a person or even as a sentient thing.
Oh, good. Yeah, I didn't want to bother trying to do that, so thank you. So it's useless. I'm imagining a nothing, contemplating a something. Oh, well, that's just too brilliant.
It's just that that object is just like floating out there, sort of the way that you might imagine, for example, that an object might have been floating out in a vacuum of empty space billions of years ago, long before there were humans, long before there was even a planet Earth, long before there were any planets in the entire universe. There were no sentient creatures of any kind, no biological life anywhere in the universe. And yet, we still think that there were, like, asteroids, planets forming, stars, stardust, nebulas.
Oh, but that's all a lie somehow, because we weren't here to appreciate it.
Supernovas and black holes and stuff like that, right? So you might kind of wonder, like, well, who was perceiving those? Obviously nobody.
Yeah, right. And the universe was, in a sense, cleaner and better off because perceiving it doesn't do you any good.
There was nobody there to perceive them, and yet you still believe that those objects were out there and that they existed. So,
all right, so I guess this is some problem other people have in their life where they actually think they make something exist by perceiving it. Now, I gotta say, it never even occurred to me to have this tricky thing where I could actually say this only exists because I'm looking at it. I never even tried to imagine having that shape of penis or something. I mean, what are you thinking, that you think you're making something significant because you're looking at it? I mean, how does somebody bend their brain into that kind of crazy bullshit? So yeah, I have to admit, I never even imagined that I could pretend I created something as existence by perceiving it. Sorry. No, I was more humble. I pretty much thought I'm just another piece of the shit. I'm just another thing occupying a little hunk of space, just like the other stuff occupying hunks of space.
You now to try to imagine an object that exists all by itself in an empty universe with no one perceiving it. What might that be like?
For who? For what? What are you talking about? What's the difference between that and the actual universe? So you just have the actual universe with a bunch of stuff that doesn't know it's supposed to be looking at each other and saying, wow, aren't you interesting? So yes, we're in a universe where everything's asleep. Imagine being in a universe where everything is asleep. Ooh. Oh, God. That's how I'm, whatever. I don't know. There's nothing you could say. This is babble that people can, they would actually on purpose listen to an hour and a half of this. I mean, there's a punchline here somewhere, I'm sure, but I just don't think it's worth waiting for.
How would the universe even know or register that this object is there? This is a very tricky and deep problem, you see.
Why is it tricky and deep? That would be the part that I'm a little curious about. Why would it be tricky and deep? Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't even imagine why it's tricky and deep. We already know the universe is way older than we are. So, I mean, what? Tricky and deep? No. Simple and dumb.
How does the universe even know itself? Like, if an asteroid existed 10 billion years ago, so did the universe kind of have a record? Like, does the universe have a database of all the asteroids and it kind of knows what asteroids are inside of it?
Well, it's a cause and effect universe. I guess you don't really go for that kind of stuff. So everything is sort of registered by the fact that everything ends up interacting with everything in all kinds of different ways. And everything's history is part of everyone's history. All the people who people needed to die of the plague for your great 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 grandparents to have gotten together, they wouldn't have married or had a life together if somebody else didn't die of the plague, who would have been the husband, who would have been, you know. So all the outcomes are related to the outcomes of other outcomes of other outcomes.
Well, you could think of it that way, but still, it's not quite right, because what does it mean for the universe? Like, so if this database exists, is there somebody in the universe, like some entity, looking at the database, seeing the database, perceiving the database? No, you can't quite say that, because we're saying that the universe hasn't evolved yet.
So I guess they really are. They're just sitting here arguing that, well, don't you automatically understand that you need to perceive something for it to exist? That it can't possibly exist if we don't look at it and say, there it is, pen. The pen can't possibly exist without me knowing it exists. The dark side of the moon doesn't exist because we don't look at it? No, come on. Come on.
To the point where there are sentient creatures. So you're sort of in this weird situation where you have to say that there is this kind of database, but yet nobody knows about it. So what does it even mean to say that there is a database? Because what we mean when we say that something is we really mean that we're perceiving it. Someone is perceiving it.
All right, is that what we mean? Okay, so that's the big difference between you and me. I know that this, when I look out into the sky at night, I see a star. I'm not seeing the star. I'm seeing light that came off of the star maybe a billion or 2 billion years ago. It's a galaxy, really, not a star. And the whole thing could have blown up, and it's in little pieces flying all over someplace else. Who knows what it's doing now? But, you know, I know that's the reality, is that I'm not recognizing it as it is. I'm recognizing as it long ago was.
So this sort of gets us into some very deep metaphysical waters that are tricky to navigate. But let's back up a step.
Okay, so this is what they call doing something actualize-y. Yeah, no, this is exactly how you stick your head in the sand. This is ostracizing. This isn't actualizing.
Let's kind of sort of go back to the beginning. Let's simplify this conversation, and let me explain to you what your...
Oh, good. Thank you. Please do that.
...conception of reality is. The conception which gets you confused about what perception is. So...
All right, so let's see. I mean, I'm assuming everybody's not confused about what perception is. Right? Perception is just identifying something in the world. Say, there it is, I see it. Or I hear it. Or in some way I know about it. So I am perceiving it by imagining it. You know, somebody could explain to me that there's, you know, that say NASA dumped some garbage on the dark side of the moon and there's a little pile of garbage there. They could explain it to me and tell me about it. I can perceive it by them giving me it's 28 degrees left and 48 degrees south of the edge of the light border, blah, 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 blah. And I can understand it pretty well. And in a sense, I can perceive it even without seeing it or hearing it or touching it or any of that crap. I could be aware of its existence. So, well, yeah. So what? I mean, you think the garbage cares? I don't think the garbage cares. Oh, in Mendham acknowledged my existence. Oh, that's so cool. No, I don't think the garbage is doing that.
Number one, what you believe is that there is an objective external material world and that this world exists independently of you, right? That's what 99.9% of people believe. Number two is that there are two kinds of objects in this world. There are dumb objects like rocks, cars, buildings, and planets. And then there are sentient creatures like humans, cats, dogs, and apes.
Okay.
Number three, you believe
that... Okay, that's pretty good so far. And then there's other living creatures, right, that aren't... that are just like sticks, okay? They don't have a brain. Not brainy capable, okay? So really all you have to say is there's a difference between all the crap in the universe and the brainy able stuff.
That these sentient objects, sentient creatures, that they perceive the external world.
Yeah, that's not the biggest thing they're doing. They feel. That's the biggie. That's the one that really matters. So what they perceive, what they think, you know, how they think, yeah, it's only important in terms of creating behaviors that'll either be productive or destructive. But, I mean, what they feel is the real value of their existence. Whether they feel good or they feel bad, is that's the only part that really does matter in some kind of mattery way.
And that every creature has this perceptual field or bubble that is their perception of the external world.
So again, the bubble can be all kinds of extraneous extra knowledge that can give you bigger and bigger and more expansive or more focused. It's like a telescope, a literal telescope or a microscope can open all kinds of changes and shapes to that bubble. And so we're really just, we should be talking about, right, if you're going to talk about metaphysics and perception and pretend you're doing this actualizing thing or some sort of mind, brain, consciousness, awareness thing, that you should really be talking about the parts that matter in the bubble. I mean, there's parts of your knowledge that are absolutely useless, and then there's parts of your perception, what you've seen through the microscope, that's incredibly important in terms of understanding contextually and being able to describe our place in the universe. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, I'll take a little break. Because I can. So I will. All right, so I used the time to... brain started imagining things, and I was thinking of dreaming, and I was thinking of, you know, this whole, you know, how you would metaphor this kind of adventure we're on, you know, and I was thinking of, you know, I was thinking of a submarine analogy, you know, and you're, you know, you're in a submarine, and your radar detects something, and then you find out what the, you know, and that turned into some sort of Star Trek thing, you know, and then all of a sudden that whoop, whoop, whoop sound starts because, oh, we've identified a rabbit in space and we're going to shoot the carrot torpedo at the rabbit and try to make it happy. And then Mr. Spock is arguing with Captain Kirk and saying, no, it needs parsley, parsley. It's clearly got little wrinkles over its forehead there, which means it does has a lack of, you know, chlorophyll, blah, 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 blah. It needs a parsley, shoot parsley at it, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, whole big story. Anyway, that's what my brain did. Yeah, you really shouldn't let your brain loose too often. It's just, it all gets quite silly.
Number five, you believe that you were born into the world as one of these biological sentient creatures. You believe that that's what you are.
What a waste of time. Yes, of course. Yes, that did happen.
And number six, you believe that the perceptual field that you have as one of these creatures is inside of the brain.
Yes, that's where it is. Yes, the brain is there for a reason. It's doing something. It's consuming 100 watts. I mean, it's really the most expensive part of your body, even more energy than your heart. Your brain is consuming. So, yeah, it's actually doing something to create all this horse shit. It's working. This is its product. So, yeah, it is kind of vital in terms of you wouldn't be doing any of this perceiving crap without it.
or is produced by the brain, which is itself a dumb object, sort of like a rock, which exists as part of the external world.
Okay, so it's a dumb object like a rock, except it's absolutely nothing like a rock in the sense it's made of 100 billion neurons that are all interconnected in very special ways and unique ways that are identified by the fact of what language you talk and what country you're born in and whether you shave your head and all these other little details that are the details that your brain is all controlling, blah, 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 blah. So unlike a rock, it's doing all of that shit. Which is your perception. Fuck. Okay, so this is the premise that we were supposed to be functioning from. Why didn't you do this list of, well, you're one of these phonies who think your brain is doing something? Oh, well, you're silly. Your brain isn't doing anything. It's like a toenail. Yes, it makes perfectly good sense for your body to waste 100 watts of energy on your toenail.
And you would say, well, we don't know exactly how this dumb object called a brain can produce this perceptual bubble field, but nevertheless, obviously it does, because here it is. So that's the...
Yes. So what? Where are you heading with this mush? It's happening in brains. Brains are doing this... Put it in a category. Brains are doing this metaphor to a Star Trek episode. Brains are doing that. That's what brains are supposed to do, is to identify similarities, take circumstances, and try to connect them to each other to understand their existence. That's right. I did the simple thing. I said, yes, me perceive, me feelings, me. And then I said, wait a minute, all the other things out there are doing the same thing. Yes, they're assholes. Yes, they're not as cool as me. They don't have as nice a shirt as I have. But they still are doing this brain thing. Yeah, I got that part. Using my brain. I use my brain to figure out the other brains are doing what my brain is doing, which is having an experience. The universe isn't having it. The rocks aren't having it. The table's not having it. The outside isn't having it. All these other things. The clouds aren't having it. The garbage on the dark side of the moon isn't having it. No, the things with brains are doing it. Fuck.
Conventional model. This is a sort of scientific, materialistic model that everybody follows. Even religious people still basically buy into this model.
So I guess he's going to say the model is somehow not correct. This idea of three-dimensional reality and stuff in places, doing individual things, somehow isn't real. It's all entangled! And the entanglement and thing.
I realized during my meditation retreat is that all of this is an illusion created by the ego.
Oh, God. ego, like ego is something. Like it even is a thing. Like it's actually a real thing. No, it's a word used to describe a phenomenon in people that, yes, they're built to feel good, okay, to have these difference in their feelings, and it makes them feel good when they feel superior or better because they're designed to be competitive. You know, so they get physical little rewards, okay, when they succeed in diminishing, you know, the power of the other, and they are successful, or they are masters, or they win the fight, or they... You know, and so just because we're designed to be competitive, I mean, that's the game we're playing. We're all sitting there with our little feathers saying, I'm prettier, I'm better. Duh. So ego isn't a thing. There's no ego brain. Okay, it's just a function inside of the brain. And it's a perfectly, you know, it's perfectly understandable, our personal corruptions. Okay, and the fact that we will gild the lily, you know, that we will in every way support our flower, okay, as being prettier than theirs.
That's not actually how it works. Here's how it actually works. Number one, there is no objective external material world.
Oh, Jesus Christ, what the fuck? Okay, so this is sort of a big argument. Okay, this is not something... You know, I don't even think in an hour and a half you're going to be able to in any way prove this with any kind of information. There's not going to be any... I don't think there's some fact that I have been totally unaware of that is in some way going to prove that the universe doesn't exist as a mechanism full of these features of force and matter, electrons, protons, time. All of these things are happening in this three-dimensional blob of a universe. I just don't think you're going to have any experimental evidence, any evidence at all, to in any way break down that model and say that's not really how it works. No, that's really how it works.
Only one thing exists in all of existence, and that is one universal field of consciousness.
So whatever that is. So a universal field of consciousness, and it makes up the photons, and it makes up the electrons, and it makes up the protons. They're all delusions. Yeah, I'd call them, they're not illusions, they're delusions of the universal consciousness. And the universal consciousness is not only made up of these delusions, but the delusions actually make the deluder. Okay, so they're, you know, I mean, the actual brain does work to some extent in this way, in the sense that your brain is deluding you, okay, by creating a projector and a screen, and it's creating some moron called you who's watching what the screen, you know, what the projector projects, and you're sitting there watching a screen projection created by your brain. And then your brain says whatever you feel, it's going to feed back into the projector and put it on the screen. I mean, you know. But that's an internal function. That's the brain's. That's a metaphor for the brain's function. It's a real thing. It's not a metaphor. You can't metaphor the entire universe into that theater, because it doesn't have a brain, and it doesn't organize anything, and it doesn't create theaters. There's just no evidence that in the swirls of the galaxies or something, there's some sort of order that's creating a projector, a screen, and some idiot called consciousness.
That's what everything you've ever interacted with has been, is this one universal field of consciousness. Number two, you did not come into existence as an object, not as a dumb object, nor as one of these sentient creatures. That's an illusion. Actually, you were born as an idea.
I mean, what is, I mean, this is so stupid. I mean, this is worse than religion, right? I mean, this is worse than a Jesus story. I mean, somebody could try to sell me a Jesus story. Well, the Savior was born as a little carpenter, and he was a little humble, and he was just trying to do daddy's work, and blah, 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 blah. And then one day, God told him he had this mission that he's, you know, you're the son of a different man, and you have to do my work instead, you know, which is to be a pain in the ass, you know, just cause the Romans all kinds of trouble, or something like that.
Follow me here. This is very mind-warping. You're not an object.
No, it's just so irritating. It's just irritating, like little cactus thorns. You're spitting them cactus thorns into my eyes. See how my eyes are squinting? It's just, yeah. Little poison-tipped cactus thorns.
Object, you're an idea. You, right there, that thing that thinks it's a physical object, you're actually an idea. Now you'll say, Leo, but no, I'm a physical object. I can't be an idea. That's silly. How could I be an idea when, look, I'm physical. Leo, I'm physical. Yeah, that's the idea that you're a physical object. You're not actually...
And who's having the idea? I'm sorry. I might be able to buy this if there was some, like, yeah, some big thing, and I could say, oh, look, there I am. There's the other brain. There's the other ideas in his head. You know, and I could look around and say, oh, yeah, there's, yeah. I just say, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm a projection. Oh, inside of some vessel that decided to project something with 100 billion neurons for whatever dopey reason. Oh, I mean, it just makes the whole, it makes this whole spectacle that much more embarrassing if you're going to create all of this infrastructure. I mean, all of this you're going to make for this mediocre, silly existence. You have to use a toilet. You really understand? I mean, in a big picture universe thing where you're going to have all of this construction for this precious thing called consciousness, you would waste it sitting on toilets? Ew. I don't think so. I don't think something smart would invent a projection that has to sit on a toilet.
A physical object, you're the idea that you're a physical object. You following this?
I guess not even close. Not, you know, what the fuck? How do you follow this? How? What is there? Where's there a grain of anything real? Anything but trapdoor. What's there to follow? None of this can go anywhere.
Weirder still. Number three, this idea of you, when it spawned into being, into existence, it took ownership of this field of consciousness that exists and misinterpreted it as its own perceptions.
Again, so you can't make it more direct. I mean, if I just, take the skin off and you're just eyeballs and then you're the, the little bones in your ears, and then the rest of your nervous system, just get rid of all the rest of this shit, just the nerves. I mean, it's pretty obvious what you are. A brain sensing. The tentacleness of it. The idea that you're just, reaching out to the universe to see what parts of it are edible and what parts aren't and all that kind of crap. That you're just testing the world to see what parts of it are fuckable and all that kind of bullshit. That's all what brain is doing. And you're saying that's some other thing's projection of an idea of something? You're an idea? It's a really bad idea.
And here we are. So you are sitting here right now listening to me. And you find yourself in this bubble.
And I find myself wondering, why the fuck did somebody link me to this crap? Okay, yes, it might be entertaining. I took it a little too seriously, okay? So yes, I should have just, put on my clown shoes and gotten to work, I haven't been in the mood. No, this is very funny. It just isn't. This is all very tragic. He almost looks like a poster child for tragic, frankly. It sort of gives you that St. Jude look, It's like, ooh. He's going to silver lining, isn't he? He's just going to do some silver lining crap, isn't he? Oh, God, no. Save us from the silver liners. People knitting their little silver linings.
And you believe that this bubble is yours? You believe that it's you. You actually believe that this is comprising your life. Like, if this bubble was extinguished, that's what you imagine death is. Right? Is the...
Yes, the end of this little storyteller. My little story stops being told. Yes. Yes, the ideas stop bouncing around in this one stupid brain. Yes. The end.
Ending of this bubble, the cessation of this bubble. Lights out. The bubble is gone. And what you imagine your birth was the instantiation of this bubble.
Oh, yes, it's so obvious, because obviously I was born and I was a complete idiot. It took a long fucking time for me to become reasonable, even just reasonable. And I still wasn't likable at any point, really. I mean, I was always an irritant to the other brains.
And what I'm telling you is that that's not the case. What actually happened is that there was this field. This field stretches out to infinity.
Oh, whatever. Stretches out to infinity. The field of fieldiness. La, 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 la,
la, la, la. And then one day, this field had an idea.
Whatever. So the field has ideas, and they just spontaneously pop out of nothing. The idea field that poofs ideas. Thing. I mean, really, you can't even draw this. You couldn't draw this into, like, you know, when they diagram, like, a Star Trek episode. You really couldn't put this in a Star Trek episode, right? I mean, this is so Star Trek, the Enterprise plows into a place in the universe and there's a giant idea field. You know, the idea field is poofing people-y things, seem to need to grow up because, you know, they're born really dumb. And then the ideas are bubbles of stuff that don't do anything because they don't have arms and legs. I don't know. It would be a shitty episode.
And the idea was that, this field is mine and this is my life. And so what you did is you actually constructed the ego when it came into existence. It constructed out of this field, this sense of...
All right, so let's just understand. This is just jargon. The word ego is just a word. I mean, I'm not even saying it wasn't a rational thing to actually talk about the idea, okay, that we are possessed by our self-interest, okay, in the sense that we do feel our pain. Okay, we don't feel each other's pain. We don't do a lot of things together. We do them individually, and it's to our individual advantage as an organism to be more likely to exaggerate our power than to exaggerate our weakness. That the organism is more likely to survive if it's lying about how powerful it is rather than lying, okay, about how weak it is, okay. Yes, you're not going to win if you run from every fight. Just a fact.
This is me, this sense of selfhood, and it took ownership of it, and then it convinced itself that, well, if this is me and this is my life and this is what's happening, then I must be perceiving some external world out there behind the scenes somewhere. And these are my perceptions of that external world behind the scenes somewhere, that external objective material.
Well, some of it's not behind the scenes. It's right in front of us. Yes. So, yes, but there is stuff on the dark side of the moon. I don't know where all the craters are there, and there's lots of stuff I don't know of its existence. It exists, and I don't know. Just a fact.
The world, which, of course, you've never encountered, because all you ever encounter is this perceptual bubble that you're in.
Yes, exactly. You encounter the world you your tentacles can reach. And again, knowledge gives you better tentacles. I mean, you can reach billions of years across space and imagine something fairly accurately. And that's a good thing. But again, what does this have to do with who's doing the perceiving? Who cares who's perceiving? What's being perceived is the important part. What is the meaning of the stuff that is being perceived?
And so literally, your sense of selfhood has distorted this non-personal field and has made it personal for you, and you've actually constructed your own life out.
So again, this is just some sort of gooey bullshit love talk about how we all should just love each other and blah 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 blah. Instead of really saying the story true, you can make the same argument, okay, that we're in this together, but you can make the argument honestly and say, yeah, but I hate your guts. I hate what you stand for. I hate how you look. I hate how you smell. I hate what you're saying. I hate everything about you. But yes, I do understand that we're in this together. Okay, I can't kick you out of the lifeboat, so to speak, without you having the right to kick me out. Blah, 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 blah. We have to come to some compromises. But let's not lie to each other and say, I love you. Because I don't. I think you're a stupid, ignorant pile of yammering bullshit, shit-talking nonsense. Okay, I hate your ambitions. I hate your little bullshit running, the little narrative running through your silly little brain. I don't even like the part where you've made me into some sort of love, little hearty thingy or whatever you've done to me with your silly perceptions, okay? Fuck you and your fucking perceptions. Fuck you and your fucking silly little fable. Fuck you and your stupid little fucking religion, okay? You can get to the end game, which is recognition of our need to be devoted to acting in the interest of sentience in the universe without lying and creating some stupid, idiotic religion. Okay. So that's probably enough. I could cheat and jump ahead and jump ahead and jump ahead, but maybe we'll take this a hunk at a time and just see if it goes. I mean, you know, it's not going to go anywhere, right? Oh, look, he's actually doing a heart thing. Okay, it's not a heart. It's an ass. Yeah. So he's using the ass metaphor. Oh, so how is he using this stupid ass sponge as some sort of fucking goddamn tool in explaining? That will be interesting, frankly. How the fuck could that be relevant to this insane story he's telling? And it's an insane story. I mean, it's just such a useless story. So we're a bunch of little poofy bubbles in the consciousness, the perceived field of make a fake thingy, person thingy. And we're all bubbling in this, whatever, this pool of fake consciousnesses, like bubbles in boiling water or something. How is this a useful? How is that as an understanding of what we are at all informative? How does it give you any tools to understand what you're supposed to be doing here? Ugh, shit. No, it's not gonna do that. All right, anyway. So, I'm just contemplating the fact that, yes, this is a kind of a hard way to get to the story, but I mean, the fact that people are telling all these stories is important and probably needs to be addressed in some respects. Is this going to hook people? Probably not. Is this going to be the mechanism that, you know, gets more eyeballs? No. But is there any way to really tell the story without being boring? I mean, without having to go through all this crap of explaining that you're a biological organism, that you have these faculties because it was advantageous to a DNA molecule, survival, blah, blah. You know, it isn't a great story. It isn't like sit on the edge of your seat just listening to it. You know. And so this is always a difficult task. All right, anyway. I mean, okay, so I'm just sitting here thinking, well, okay, well, you could buffoon it up. You could put on, you know, you could wear a funny hat. You could do something to keep them, you know, keep them interested, you know, fill in with little jokes or something, be a better entertainer. I don't want to do all that shit. No, I don't. I really don't want to do that. Anyway, so we'll see. Till the next time and such. And so forth and whatnot. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's enough. So, Google is evil. And should be acknowledged. And we should take appropriate navigational action, you know, and photon torpedo the, you know, the nasty bits in the universe. It's a nasty bit. It's a bad perception. The universe is doing bad things by making the Google bubble. Bad universe. Bad.